The Lord is with us, Heart Dwellers. It's August the 9th, 2015. And the night began tonight with hours of worship and keeping Jesus company. At one point, we were in a jungle in heaven, a place where he put a double hammock up so we could rest together, listen to the birds and the breeze high up in the trees. We'd been there many times before. But tonight, he was lying down and I was sitting beside him, weaving flowers into the mesh of the hammock around him, stroking his hair and brow with a red-tailed hawk feather I cherished because it was an extraordinary gift. And I could tell he was troubled, but keeping it to himself. So I just continued to comfort him. And after a few hours of this, I stopped to listen for a message, but he said nothing. After another long while, I listened, and still nothing. Now, I had worked very hard to get my schedule to the point where I could get up by 12 o'clock in the afternoon and still take care of the day's work and its demands. And I could tell that wasn't going to happen tonight. I was not going to get to bed any time early tonight, certainly not by 2 o'clock, more like about 6, and here it is now, 6:30, and I'm just starting the message. So I began to get disturbed and impatient, and I didn't know why he wasn't giving me a message, except I could tell that he was obviously deep in thought about something and very preoccupied. So I started writing to him, "Lord, I don't understand why you're doing this, but I don't need to understand. I'm sorry for getting angry. I guess I want to control my schedule so that I can have my daylight hours. And you are doing something different. I feel so ashamed for being angry with you. I see more and more pride. When will it ever end? I'm really sorry." And he didn't say anything to me. He was still quiet. And I just typed those words down, and then I got so tired I had to take a nap, and I came back at 5 o'clock, and he began speaking to me. Actually, I started out when I came back by saying, "Lord, please speak to me. Please, please speak to me." I was pleading with him. And finally, he began, "We're moving ahead." And there was a long silence, and I knew right away that he was talking about the events in the world culminating. So I answered him, "Oh, that's why you're so sad and needing consolation." He replied, "Yes, I thought perhaps we could put it off a bit longer, but it's not looking good. Too many things are converging, and there comes a point, Claire, where time given is exploited by evil and outweighs the good. It's a turning point. Oh, Lord, we've all been waiting so long. Could it be that it will really happen now? It's looking that way more and more. I need your prayers, Claire. I don't want to do this now. I want more time, more grace, more mercy. Believe it or not, there could be a swing the other way towards goodness if more would pray. Then the good that is done would outweigh the bad. But for this I need more prayers and more dedicated prayer time. And yes, to answer your question, the Divine Mercy Chaplet could help to turn the tide." And what he was talking about there is I was thinking to myself, oh, the chaplet, to pray for the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. And that this would be the time to be praying that chaplet. Then he began to speak to all of us, and he said, "My brides, I don't care what your background is. There's no excuse for not praying this prayer. Do you really want to know what I meant by saying long prayers, repetitive prayers, and babbling to impress people? You complain about long prayers, but do you know that my disciples and I prayed the Psalms regularly and repeatedly? Psalm 91 was a favorite, over and over again. Yet this prayer I gave that poor Polish woman is criticized for being long and repetitive. For the sake of my sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Is it too much for me to ask of you, my bride, to meditate on my passion for the 20 minutes it takes to say that chaplet? Is it boring to you? I'm sorry. It should never be boring to you. Lord, it is boring sometimes. Why is that? Is it boring to think about how you're going to make improvements around the house and the yard? You give your mind to that day after day for at least 20 minutes, if I could count all the minutes together. The answer is simple. Your carnal nature is stronger than your spiritual nature, and you derive more pleasure from thinking creative thoughts than entering into my passion with me. Claire, I will not condemn you here, beloved. Ask of me, and I will impart to you this very special gift. I would love to see you at the foot of my cross more. Oh, I would derive great comfort from that. Okay, Lord, I'm asking me. I have that gift too, on top of all the others you've been so generous to give. Consider it done. There is a certain sweetness I share with my bride when she enters that space with me. It is sweeter by far than any of the other gifts. You will never feel the profound joy and sorrow any other way than by entering into the suffering of my passion. You have been there before, Claire. Don't tell me you haven't. Yes, Lord, I have, but it was not easy. He continued, it also brought you deeper in compassion and understanding and the ability to carry your own cross. You tasted the sweetness of the depth of my love for you and all mankind, that I would willingly lay down my Godhead and allow myself to be done away with by my very own creatures. There is a bitterness there that is intensely sweet, and all who partake of that are strengthened in resolve, in goodwill, and inspired to live more and more for me. I'm not saying it's easy. It certainly requires a strong resolve, since it's not an easy thing to meditate upon. When I say don't pray as the pagans do, don't stand on the street corner saying long prayers, I'm talking about display. And all of you have been there, in a group, multiplying your prayers to sound good and caring in the presence of others, as well as going on and on asking for worldly gifts, when in fact the prayer I taught you is to be an example of what you ask for. Scripture has it, and when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose they will be heard for their many words. So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray then in this way, Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. And watch out for the teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes and be greeted with respect in the marketplaces. I repeated plenty of long prayers. The Psalms were forever on my lips. I do not remember a time when I was not praying one part or another from the Psalms and the prophets. I was fond of repeating particular lines that brought comfort to my Father. The Divine Mercy Chaplet was given to extend grace and mercy at a critical time in history, World War II. Many who were dying came to me at the very last moment of their lives because of this prayer, and to this day it is divinely relevant. So swallow your pride, rend your garments, and beg for mercy. You cannot imagine the Holocaust that you are on the verge of. There's not one person in this country that will not be desperately affected by the coming events. You cannot imagine it now because you've lived in peace for so long. but if for no other reason than to save your relatives. I have great need of your prayers, my dear little family. Great need. Whenever my spirit moves upon your hearts, pray from the heart in the way you're inspired. I only brought up the chaplet's virtue because some have slandered it. I wanted you to understand what the scriptures say and don't say about prayer, not what men twist to fit their own particular doctrine to put others down with. Over and over again in the scriptures, I have said things that could be twisted and rationalized, made into a doctrine by those who do not think beyond the lines of print on the page. Your prayers are powerful. They do not bounce off the ceiling as the enemy would have you believe. No, every single prayer is presented in heaven as a sweet-smelling sacrifice. Every single prayer. The enemy will discourage you from prayer if you let him, in the same way he discourages you about yourself. They spend all their time running around lying. If they are not permitted to do physical harm, they will at very least convince gullible souls that their prayers are a waste of time. Do not allow yourself to be victimized by such as these. Lord, I often feel this way. Yes, I know. Part of it is sloth. The other is a lie you've allowed into your thinking. You will have to do much violence to overcome this treachery that has affected all my saints. Day and night, 24 hours, my Father in heaven is answering prayers. Many are jaded in their thinking about prayer. They presume that because they've not fasted or done great works, that their prayers will not be heard. May I say the obedient soul gets their prayers answered? There is no higher disposition of heart next to mercy and charity than obedience. Obedience does violence to pride and fosters humility. And the obedient soul, who has shifted all their confidence off their flesh and onto my loving providence, will get their prayers answered more than those who pray and declare their faith one moment and shift into unbelief the next because they didn't fast. Oh, Lord, you've exposed my error in thinking. Yes, truly it is confidence in the flesh that threatens your faith. It's not about you. It's about my mercy. And your faith is so pleasing to me, I can hardly resist. That is the truth. Great faith in me and me alone is rare, and when I find it, I reward it plenteously. So, Lord, when I cast my cares for this little family onto you because I know I can't do anything for them, am I praying in faith that you'll do it all? Well said. When I see that you recognize your insufficiency, your utter powerlessness in the face of so many needs and requests, my heart is moved on behalf of your prayer. And yes, I visit them with my grace, because you have nothing to give, and you are so totally reliant on me. I can't bear the idea of letting you or them down. You are a mere human, and you know how you never want to disappoint anyone and will go out of your way to justify their confidence in you. How much more so will your Father in heaven do in honor of his name? Be at peace now, my brides. All I'm asking of you is prayer and faith in me, that I will answer by withholding the wrath that is to come. It is not my heart that my bride should depart yet. It is not my heart. Some of you will truly take this message to heart and with your whole being respond to me. And to you I say, you have captured my heart, my sister, my bride. You've captured my heart with one glance of your eyes, with one jewel of your necklace.